Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
When I was growing up, the most dreaded childhood disease was not measles, chicken pox, or mumps. It was a mysterious disorder. No one knew exactly how you caught it, but the mere idea of contracting this disease, man, it put fear in my friends and me. There was no vaccine for it, no inoculation. We didn't know how we'd catch it, but fortunately, we knew who had it, because it was very obvious who carried this disease. Girls were loaded with it, all except for my mother. And we didn't know what this disease was called, but we called it cooties. And every girl I knew just was loaded with this stuff. And I mean, to catch it was the worst. And so it was almost like people who had cooties went around with a sign saying, "Do not touch." You know what I mean? To touch them would be like to be infected with it yourself. And so you just didn't touch. The problem is that human beings need to be touched. But the problem with that is that we're sick. We're sick. A couple years ago, I was at an art museum, and I was walking down a hallway. I turned a corner and had my breath taken away. It wasn't a sculpture. It wasn't a painting. It wasn't even an exhibit. It was actually the sign over the exhibit. The sign said, "Touch me. I'm sick." I saw that sign, and so I wandered into the exhibit wondering what it was. It turned out it was a photo exhibit featuring the photographs of a photographer named Charles Peterson. Charles Peterson was at the epicenter of the birth of grunge music in Seattle in the late 80s and early 90s. And the exhibit was pictures of before they were famous bands like Nirvana and Soundgarden and Pearl Jam, and I like the exhibit because I am a fan of grunge music, but I just kept wandering back and looking at the name of the exhibit, "Touch Me, I'm Sick." I discovered that the name came from a song by a band called Mudhoney, and so I went over and I studied the pictures of this band, Mudhoney, trying to figure out what it was that allowed them to so succinctly capture what I believe is the human condition. See, the reality is, we're sick. We're sick. And the exhibit captured the silent cry of every person I know. "Touch me, I'm sick." Because the problem that we have is, we know ourselves, right? You know you, I know me. Like, I can't see inside of you, but I know the inside of me. I know how repulsive I can be on the inside. I know how even my good deeds are often corrupted with bad, selfish motives. I know how evil my thoughts can be. I know that I'm sick. And you know that you're sick. And so what we do is we yearn. You know, we crave compassion. We long for someone to know the truth about us, but still care about us, still love us. We crave touch. Not just the feel of skin on skin, but the feel, the caress of compassion, of someone who knows but still cares. What we long for is a healing touch. Inside of us, man, I am convinced that the silent cry that we don't tell each other, but we... and we scream inside, is, "Touch me. I'm sick." And Jesus came as a response to that cry. Today we're going to be in the book of Luke in the New Testament of the Bible. If you have a Bible, you can open to Luke. If you don't have a Bible, we'll put the verse on the screen here in a minute. And if you don't own one, we'd love to give you one as a free gift. We give them out at the Velcro bar after the service. Just grab a Bible on your way out. And Luke would be a great book to start with if you're new to the Bible. But back in Jesus' time, the most untouchable kind of person were people who carried the disease of leprosy. Leprosy began as a feeling of lethargy and pain in the joints. But pretty soon, patches would start to appear on your face. And then they would start to ulcerate, leaving you unrecognizable. And then it would grow across your body, and soon your vocal cords would also ulcerate, leaving your voice hoarse and raspy and almost inaudible. It was caused, leprosy, by a loss of sensation in your body. There's a guy named Dr. Paul Brand. He's currently the leading researcher of leprosy. He spent his entire career studying this disease, living with lepers, mostly in India. And he tells stories, like he tells this one story about a time where he tried to open a padlocked gate with a key, but the padlock wouldn't work with the key. And so this boy, this leper that he was with, stuck his finger into the padlock and just started turning and finally popped the lock open. When he pulled his finger out, he had mashed it all the way down to the bone, but he couldn't feel it at all. Now, when a person has leprosy, they lose their toes and their fingers and sometimes their hands. And it was always believed that it happened because of the disease, that you just lost body parts. But Dr. Paul Brand and his researchers, they stayed awake at night watching people with leprosy as they slept. What they discovered is that rats would come along and they would eat away at the fingers and toes of a person with leprosy. But because they couldn't feel pain, they just slept right through it, and they'd wake up in the morning without a body part. Back in Jesus' time, the first sign that a person had leprosy was considered a death sentence. In fact, the law said that if you had leprosy, you could no longer live in the town. You had to live alone outside the town, and you weren't allowed into the town at all. In fact, as you walked anywhere, you would have to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean," just to warn people, just in case there was anybody in the vicinity, that they would know that they have to get away because there was a person with leprosy going by. That was the law, but the religious leaders of Jesus' time, the rabbis, they took it a lot further. What they said was that if a person with leprosy entered into a home, that home was now considered unclean and had to immediately be destroyed. And if a person with leprosy touched another person, even before any signs of leprosy appeared, even not knowing for sure if they had captured this contagion, that person was considered unclean and had to go out and live as a leper. And so, can you imagine? Can you imagine having to go through life never being touched again? Can you imagine never being able to hug your child? Never feeling a friend's hand on your hand? Never being able to embrace your spouse? Never feeling your father's arm across your shoulder? And it wasn't just a physical thing. Back in Jesus' time, the disease of leprosy also carried a moral stigma. People back then believed that people with leprosy were cursed by God. That's how you got leprosy. And so, in fact, with other diseases, what they said is that a person would need to be healed of the disease. But interestingly, people with leprosy were said to need to be cleansed of the disease, because it wasn't just a physical thing. I mean, they were considered just walking sin, just walking contagion. So let's look at this story from Luke chapter 5, where we see Jesus encounter a man with leprosy. We'll put the verses on the screen. So starting in verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." So this man comes, and he falls down face to the ground. And did you notice that he says, "if you are willing"? It's interesting. When most people ask Jesus for a healing, what they would say is, "if you are able, perhaps you could make me, you know, healed." But this man doesn't question Jesus' ability to heal him. He only questions his willingness. He knows who he is, right? He knows that he is untouchable. See, you and I, we know that we're repulsive on the inside, but he had become repulsive on the outside. Our motives are sometimes corrupted. His flesh had become corrupted. At times, our thoughts are ugly. His body had become ugly. You and me, our problems are buried deep inside where other people can't see them, but his problems were oozing out of his body. And he didn't know that Jesus would be willing to heal him. And so, in a sense, he gives voice to our silent cry. Touch me. I'm sick. Now, here's what's interesting. Back then, the religious leaders of Jesus' time practiced and taught a strategy of isolation. The idea was that sin is contagious. Just as disease is, sin is contagious. And so the way you avoid sin is by avoiding people with sin. And so you isolate yourself from them. And so religious people, above all people, were unapproachable. People with diseases, people with sin, were not to go near any religious leader, near any rabbi, because they practiced this strategy of isolation. They considered themselves so close to God that it would be wrong for a sinful person to come near to them. And the irony of this story is that the only rabbi they could get close to was God himself. See, Jesus was God in the flesh, and Jesus was a rabbi. But this leper, who typically would have avoided rabbis above all people, because he knew, even beyond what would happen with a normal person, if he went anywhere near a rabbi, he would be hammered. This rabbi somehow feels that it's okay to approach Jesus. See, here's the thing about Jesus. Maybe it's a Jesus you never knew. Jesus was the most approachable person to ever walk the face of this planet. God in the flesh, God walking around in sandals, the most approachable person to ever walk the face of the planet. Let's look at what happens next, verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Now, I really want you to think about this. There are all kinds of stories in the Bible, and I realize some of you are like, man, I'm new to this whole church thing. I've never even read the Bible, and you may not know this, but there are all kinds of stories in the Bible about people reaching out to touch Jesus. There's stories of little children reaching out to touch Jesus. There's a story about a sick woman who reaches out to touch Jesus. There's a story about a prostitute who comes and pours perfume on Jesus and then lets down her hair and reaches out and dries Jesus' feet with her hair, reaching out to touch Jesus. There's all kinds of stories of people in the Bible who reach out to touch Jesus, but this leper does not reach out to touch Jesus. He had no thought of touching Jesus because he knows that he is untouchable. He knows that he is contagious with this disease, and so never would he have thought of reaching out to touch Jesus. But Jesus reaches out and touches him. Jesus reaches out and touches him. And what I really want you to notice, okay, in this story, in this verse, is the order of the events. Because Jesus reached out and touched the leper, and then Jesus healed him of his leprosy. The order is scandalous. Jesus reached out and touched the man in his leprosy before he healed him. Now, just to be clear, Jesus didn't have to touch him. There are dozens of stories of Jesus healing people in the Bible, and he typically does not touch the person. Jesus' words heal a person. In fact, we have stories of Jesus healing people who aren't even in the area, like people who are far off, and all Jesus has to do is speak the words, and they are healed at a distance. Jesus doesn't have to touch this guy. It's Jesus' words that heal his body. But I think it's Jesus' touch that heals his soul. You know, touching a leper meant that you were infected with leprosy. But there is something much stronger than leprosy at work in this story. Because the leper didn't infect Jesus with his leprosy. Jesus infected the leper with his wellness. Jesus infected the leper with his life, with his love. It turns out that sin and suffering, they're not the only things that are contagious. And Jesus reaches out and he touches the man and he heals him. And I want to tell you this, man, this is really good news for you and for me. Like, this is a life-changing good news story for us. Because the truth is, we know that we are sick. And we go through life, man, and we suffer. And we are untouchable. You know, we're the person that you need to kind of keep your distance from. But we learn in this story that we can go to Jesus. Maybe when you look at your life and you think about all the things that you've done, and maybe even if you look in the mirror today and you just get really honest with yourself and you see just the evil that lurks inside of you, maybe you're at a place where you feel like you can't go to Jesus. Maybe you would echo those same words of that leper. If you are willing. Maybe you're at a place where you don't think that Jesus would be willing to approach someone like you, or Jesus would be willing to touch someone like you. But what we learn in this story is that Jesus is willing, and that Jesus will reach out, and he will touch us. And his touch brings healing. Healing not only our bodies, but our soul. It heals everything we suffer from, everything that's made us unclean and contagious. So this is really good news. Jesus is willing, and he is approachable, and he will heal us if we approach him, if we fall on our faces like the leper, if we ask, if we ask. And listen, this is where it gets like crazy, cool, exciting. Because when we do that, when we approach Jesus and we fall on our face and we say, if you're willing, can you make me clean? And Jesus reaches out and he touches us and he changes our life. When Jesus does that to us, something else happens inside of us. What happens is that we become contagious, but in a completely different way. Let's look at the end of this story. Verse 14, then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Check this. Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Remember, we saw that last week. We talked about that last week, that Jesus' priority was always intimacy with God. But isn't this interesting? Jesus commands this guy, don't tell people what's happened. Don't let anybody else know about what's happened. But this guy can't obey Jesus in that way because he's become contagious in a whole new way. He was contagious with leprosy, but now he's contagious with the love of God. Something completely different has happened to him, and he can't help but talk about it. He can't help but let people know. He can't help it, and what happens is, man, it starts to spread. That's the word Luke uses. He says it spread. News about him spread. Man, it spread like a bad cold. It spread like the flu. It spread like a hot rumor. And it spread and it became known throughout the whole area to the point that it was no longer like one person at a time coming to Jesus. It was now crowds of people coming to Jesus because of this man and what had happened to him. See, here's the amazing thing. When you approach Jesus and you fall on your face and you say, man, if you're willing, you could make me clean. And Jesus reaches out and he touches you and he does something in your life. What he does is he makes you contagious. You become contagious with the wellness of God, with the compassion of God, with the love of God. And then Jesus thinks so highly of you that he gives you the honor of asking you to be his hands. And what he does is he sends you out to touch people in his name. Because the deal is, we're not the only ones who are sick. Everyone is. And we're not the only ones who need to be touched. Everyone does. And so Jesus sends us out to touch the sick. In fact, there's a couple stories in the Bible where Jesus is starting to gather followers. Like there's this one point where he has like around 70 followers and they've been spending time with him. And then Jesus sends them out. He sends them out in twos to go out and do ministry for the first time. He's like, okay, you guys have been seeing what I'm doing. Now you go out and do it. And he sends them out two by two with instructions. And if you read the story, basically his instructions to these people are, go out and touch the sick. Go touch the sick. Touch the sick because they need to experience the compassion of God. Touch the sick because they need to experience the wellness of God. Touch the sick because they need to experience the love of God. Touch the sick because they need to experience the life of God through you. You get to be my hands. When Jesus touches you, you become contagious. And the idea is that we're going to touch other people. And when we do, there is a good chance that they will catch from us the love that we've received from him. There's a pastor named Mike Bro. He's one of my favorite pastors to listen to. He's got a son named Drew. When Drew was just a little guy, like third grade, one day Mike went to the school cafeteria to surprise his son to eat lunch with him. So Mike walks into the school cafeteria, and there's this really strange sight. There's this one table, and Mike recognizes the kids from his son's class, but they're all smushed into this table, and sitting like this eating, like just tons of kids smushed into one table. And then there's the other table for his son's class, but the other table has just two kids sitting at this big table, this girl and his son, Drew. Kind of looked at that and wondered, so he went over to one of the cafeteria workers and he said, hey, what's going on? And the cafeteria worker said, oh, well, that's the way it is every day here. She said, it is the sweetest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. That girl that your son's sitting with, She's the girl who other kids make fun of. She doesn't really shower. She doesn't have nice clothes. She's always kind of dirty, and she's very poor, and so none of the kids will ever sit with her. And so rather than her having to sit by herself, every day your son sits with her. Mike was like, and so he decided not to go over. He just went home, and that night when they were eating dinner, he said to his son, he said, hey, I came by the school today. I was going to sit with you, but now, I saw all the kids at the one table and you and that girl at the other. What's going on, Drew? And Drew looked at him kind of very matter-of-factly said, I mean, didn't you tell us at church that we're supposed to love people? And Mike said, well, yeah, I've told you that. And Drew said, well, didn't you tell us that we're supposed to mostly love people who, like, nobody else will love and, you know, the people who maybe are hard to love? And Drew was like, or Mike was like, yeah, I probably said that. And Drew was like, duh, like, what do you think I'm doing? It's what Christ followers do. That's what you do. When God touches you and he brings healing and he brings wellness to your life, you go out and you touch other people, sick people, who need to experience that healing and that wellness of God. And so let me ask you this. Man, who has God put in your life? Who has God put in your life? Who's the lonely person in your neighborhood? That's not random. God put that lonely person in your neighborhood so that you could touch that person. Who's the unpopular kid in your school? Who's the friendless person at work? Maybe you have a homeless person who hangs out outside your office building every day. God puts those people in your life so that you can touch them and you can infect them with the love of God. By the way, this is why we are trying to serve the kids at Dean Peterson Elementary. Dean Peterson is a grammar school just off the northeast end of the strip, and it's just in a very poor neighborhood. The kids who go to the school, 80% of them, when they show up for their first day of school, don't speak English because it's not their language at home. 100% of the kids are on free or reduced lunches. Sarah goes to our church. She's one of the teachers at the school. She told me about the first day of a new school year recently where all the kids and their parents had received a piece of paper with a list of school supplies that you're supposed to bring on your first day. Pencils, pens, crayons, paper, erasers, folders. Well, she starts her first day of school, looks out. There's this one kid in her class who all he brought in was the stub of a pencil. No paper, no folders, no erasers, just one stub of a pencil. And all the other kids brought nothing. The kid with the stub of a pencil, that was the rich kid. And these kids, they're growing up in families where they don't get a Christmas present. They can't go trick-or-treating because their neighborhood is infested with gangs, and you can't walk at night on the streets. In fact, just recently, somebody was shot on the sidewalk in front of their school. And so we said, man, let's love them. Let's serve them. Let's see if we can touch them with the love of God. Let them know that God loves them. And so we provided Christmas. You guys provided Christmas presents for them. And we bought Halloween candles so that they'd come back to their school and do a trick-or-treating night in the school at night. And right now we're collecting candy because we're going to do an Easter egg hunt with them on Saturday, April 7th. And this is our chance to touch some people, you know. And I need to ask you guys. We probably haven't told you the number. We are filling 5,000 eggs with candy, and right now we probably have received from you all and from me enough candy to fill maybe 5 eggs. So we've got like 4,995 eggs left to fill. So we have one more weekend to do this. Next weekend, if you could come like this with candy, that would be really cool. And maybe you'd be like, well, how am I going to afford to go out to eat this week? Maybe you don't. Maybe you skip your whatever from Starbucks. But man, that would be a really cool thing for you to do, you know? And it would be a way for you to touch some kids because that's what Christ's followers do. This is also why we're starting this school and this church in Ecuador. Man, the kids there, they don't even have a school to go to. The kids in the town of Monte Olivo don't go to school because there is no school. There's lots of kids. There's just no school. There's no church. And so what we're doing is we and 3 other churches are each kicking in $25,000, and we're building a school and a church, and we're partnering with some organizations that are kind of come in with teachers and come in with programs for food. And so we're building the school and church, and then we're going to have the opportunity to adopt or sponsor some of the kids in that town where through us giving, through our families giving like $38 a month, those kids are going to have food on their table 6 days a week and be able to go to school 6 days a week, which might sound like, well, what about the seventh day? Well, 6 days a week will be really good for them. Can you imagine that? And so this is why we're doing that, because it's what Christ's followers do. When you've been touched by Jesus, he makes you contagious, and you can't not. I mean, if he orders you, don't tell anybody. Don't. You can't. You know, it's like telling somebody with the flu, now don't get anybody else contagious. I can't, you know. It's contagious. It's happened to me. It's what I have to do. It's what I have to do, even if it's not what I want to do. There's an area called Kalaupapa. It's a beautiful beachy area in Hawaii on the island of Molokai, which is one of the many beautiful islands of Hawaii. In the 1800s, cases of leprosy started to break out across Hawaii. And what the government of Hawaii did is they isolated all the people with leprosy onto Kalaupapa Beach on Molokai Island. And so they all lived there and they died there together. Well, there was this guy named Father Damien. And Father Damien was a priest who wrote a letter to his supervisors and he said, "I want to sacrifice myself for the lepers." And he got permission to do so. And so he moved to Molokai, to this part of the island. And for 16 years, he just poured his life out in serving these lepers. I mean, he served them, he loved them, he buried them. He learned their language. He organized schools for their kids. He organized bands and choirs for them. He built homes for them to live in. And he built coffins for them to be buried in. And he always spoke to them about the love of God, this unconditional love of God, that Jesus is approachable. And he will reach out. He is willing to reach out and he is willing to touch you. And he can infect you with his love. Father Damien, he became one of the lepers. At first, metaphorically, through his friendship with them, but eventually, very literally, when he caught their disease. One Sunday morning, he walked up to start his sermon, and he began it by saying, "We lepers." And everyone knew. He had caught their disease. He had lived with them. And now he would die as they died. And he did. He died of leprosy. You know what? That's okay. He caught their disease, but it's okay because they caught his. You know? He became contagious with their disease of leprosy, but they became contagious with the love of God. His life temporarily ended because of the disease he caught from them. But these people received eternal life because of the disease that they caught from him. And that's exactly what Jesus did. In fact, the Bible describes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." What that's saying is that Jesus took our sin on himself so that we could be made sinless before God. That Jesus gave up his life on a cross so that we could receive the life of God. And it all happened because he was willing to be approachable. Because he was willing to reach out and he was willing to touch the sick. Because he's willing to touch you and me. And then he calls us to do the same, that we might be willing to touch the sick. That's what Christ followers do. We're going to give you guys a couple minutes to think about that. I just want to encourage you, I guess, in these next maybe 3 minutes, as we give you some time just to think about what you heard today, to kind of process, to pray, if you pray, to think about the fact that if we're just being real honest today, we're sick. We're sick. And we need to be touched. And Jesus is willing to reach out and touch us. That's why he came. He came as a response to our cry. And he came for you. And he's reaching out. And he wants to touch you. And he wants to heal you. And if he touches you, he will infect you with his wellness. He will infect you with his love. He will infect you with his life. And then he calls you to go out and to be approachable and to touch others and to do the same for them. So I'm going to pray. We're going to give you a couple minutes. During this time, we also make communion available. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that reminds us that Jesus wasn't playing games. It wasn't just talk with him, but that he actually went to a cross and he literally died so that we might have life. And so there's a piece of bread that represents the body of Jesus and a cup of juice that represents his blood. And a little weird, right? But it's just this really cool way of us remembering what he did for us. And so on the tables on each side of the room with candlelight, there's the bread and juice. And if you'd like to, you certainly don't have to. You may not be there yet. But if you'd like to, you can go and take some bread and juice and bring it back to your seat and take some time to thank Jesus for being who he is and for what he did for you. And then you can eat and drink in a way of thanking him and recommitting your life to following him. So let's pray. God, I think the truth is that we prefer to ignore the dirtier parts of ourselves. We prefer to just kind of gloss over that which makes us unclean and just try to feel good about ourselves and our lives. But the truth about us is we are sick. And there's a sense in which maybe we're untouchable and we've become dirty. And we probably should be asked to go and live outside the town and be by ourselves. Because there's probably something contagious about our problems. And that's why we are so thankful, God, that you sent Jesus for us in our sickness. That Jesus, you were approachable and you reach out and you touch us and you infect us with something much stronger than our disease of sin. You infect us with the unconditional love of God and it changes our lives. It's the most powerful healing force in the universe. Thank you for reaching out and touching us, God. God, maybe there's people in this room who have not experienced that yet. My prayer is that they will. That their lives will be changed by encountering this Jesus that maybe they've never known. And God, when we experience that, I pray that you'd help us to know that our role now, the honor that we have, the privilege, the responsibility, is to go out and to bring your love to others. To go out and serve and touch and heal and bring your life to those who need to be touched. God, I pray that this church would always be filled with those kind of people. Thanks for Jesus. Thanks for communion. Thank you that though we were dirty, you came for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.